The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Read with Michelle Martin on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
I've been interested in this whole area of simplicity after I came across the Simplicity Index created by Siegel and Gale. So that's a yearly ranking of brands with the least complicated experiences. And what I thought was compelling was not only that simplicity drives sales and drives growth, 64% of consumers say they're more likely to recommend a brand because of a simple experience. I'm sure that rings true for you in your own life as well. So today I'm reading the Simplicity Playbook for Innovators. It's by Jin Kang Mola. She's a customer experience strategist and design practitioner. She leads customer experience initiatives for private banking, wealth management, and insurance businesses, working to simplify complex customer experiences for bottom line impact. And she's the driver, I understand, behind Frank by OCBC Bank, an award-winning banking concept for millennials. Thrilled to welcome author of the Simplicity Playbook for Innovators, Jin Kang Mola. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Very happy to be here.
Terrific. Now, I think this idea of simplicity, Jin, being human-centric, is so easy to lose sight of in the midst of complex technology and innovation. So I wanted to start with an overview for our listeners. Make it simple for them as well. What did you most want your book to share with readers about innovation?
Well, I mean, innovation certainly is a noble and very important concept these days. But I also think that it's very business and technology-centric. I mean, as you just mentioned, we all know human-centric is very important, but at the same time, it's hard to really do. So through my book, I ended up using the word simplicity because we have natural attraction to this word, maybe because we are surrounded by complexity. Mm. So I wanted to bring attention to what really we need as a human being and really drive the focus. And what kind of experience we wanted to create as a business. And my book, my hope was really, making the whole concept of customer centricity as easy as possible and making the idea of customer centricity everybody's job. It's not about some specialists doing their job and then, people think about customer centricity as just a normal abstract concept. I wanted to make it tangible and actionable.
Wonderful. We live in such a complex world. So it's so nice to have a book that is urging in this world where we're always bombarded. It's so nice to have a book urging, hey, put the human at the center of the experience and keep it simple. So I like your title as well. You have the word lovable in your title to describe the experiences that you hope your book can help create. So why did you choose the word lovable?
Okay, actually, I get this question a lot. Some people think, oh, yeah, because maybe you're a girl. That's why you chose the world. But actually, I chose this word lovable deliberately for two reasons. Mm-hmm. First of all, the word love, I refer to the response, the positive response that you want to create from your customers. Because the word love stretches our thinking. There's a big difference between customer being satisfied and when they really love that experience. So by using that word, lovable, I wanted to create that, the stretch of thinking. The word can be actually replaced with something that is more relatable to, certain business, such as confident experience or seamless experience or fun experience. Mm-hmm. But the goal really is to having that frame of mind, we really have to stretch our thinking. The goal is to create a strong emotional effect. So that was the one reason. And the second reason to choose this word was that I think when we are in love, with a brand that simplifies our decision-making process, and we want to do more business with them. So perhaps, Michelle, you have a favorite fashion brand. Isn't it easier to buy a new clothes from that brand as opposed to, you know, trying out something else?
It is, yes. That's why we collect our favorite brands, right? Simplifies
right.
the whole complex choosing process.
Yes, we don't have time. We don't always have the effort. And we know by choosing the favorite brand, we know they know my size. I don't have to worry about that. We know the quality and the kind of experience that I can expect from the brand. And I think this really is about how love simplifies one's decision.
Love that idea. Actually, there's so much, you know, behavioral psychology behind how to make the complex uncomplicated. So why is it in this book, the central idea is focus on simplicity, not just innovation for companies?
First of all, I define simplicity as an experience. You know, a lot of people associate, you know, I mean, simplicity, everybody has own perception. You know, actually, dictionary defines it as it's a quality of something being easy. Mm-hmm. Easy to understand, easy to do, right? But the core definition of simplicity I wanted to come across was really about the experience that you can create. When people actually feel simple, to me, that's simplicity. Like morning coffee on a Sunday morning, you know, it's just a simple cup of coffee really warms up your body, wakens your, you know, spirit for the day, you know, that kind of experience. So to me, essentially, you know, what is the goal of innovation? Mm-hmm. The reason why I, you know, suggested in the book that by pursuing simplicity, we get to innovate is because to me, the innovation is about delivering a better human experience.
Love
it's about
that.
Creating that, you know, the experience that people love. Something simple, but something magical. So that's why I wanted to really, you know, encourage companies to look for that experience, craft that experience rather than, oh, let's do innovate.
Okay, let's help companies craft that experience. What do you think most companies misunderstand about simplicity?
Well, first of all, a lot of people think being simplistic is about minimalistic, you know, so they are very afraid. Oh, you know, what if people don't find us attractive because we are just so basic? Another thing I hear a lot is that simplicity is about reduction. But I think reduction is critical part, of course, because, for instance, you want to reduce number of steps people have to go through or even number of products we offer to our customers. But reduction is not a goal. It can happen as a result, but the core idea of simplicity is knowing what really matters for customers and deliver that experience. So really shifting our mindset, oh, let's just reduce to, or let's develop something to see what customer, what ideas customer will, you know, take. It's really about finding the right thing. Doing fewer but better things to do. So the idea of focus, I would like to really emphasize rather than really, you know, going for, you know, reduction.
Focus. Okay, I like that. Jingkang Mola is my guest today. She's the author of The Simplicity Playbook for Innovators, which is what we're reading. So you were the driver behind Frank by OCBC Bank. Wonderful. Do you think a lot of banks are waking up to the idea that, you know, simplicity needs to be at the heart of many of their processes?
Yeah, I mean, because when we are in the project, I mean, the Frank is a great example how, you know, a company like OCBC really think about customers, and we really try to go deeper into consumers' minds. To be honest, when we are in the project, we don't think about innovation or simplifying. Mm-hmm. We were very, very deeply concerned, what is likely to be that age, having $500 a month and having that ambition, having all the technology in their hand, yet it's quite vague what kind of future, you know, they can design. So we really wanted to design something that resonate with those millennials, really establishing their relationship, connect with them. So the process really was really the focusing on the right thing. What are their behavior? What is lacking? What can we play as a brand, as a financial services? And as a result, I think we were able to identify a few things that really matter for the, you know, millennial segment. And that created the simple experience that people enjoy interacting with us. I mean, initially, I mean, Frank has evolved so much. I mean, when we initially conceptualized, it was in 2010 already, 10 years ago. Mm. I mean, that time we saw opportunity in, you know, banking is so boring. What if, you know, we tap on somebody's, you know, this wanting to express their personality. Can we be a fashion item, just like any retail brand? Right. Can banking experience be a shopping experience? So we saw very interesting opportunity because millennials were very interested in expressing their personality in their daily life. So we decided to play that role. And as the millennials grow up, we also evolved. But so the core of this design process to us, really focusing on that things that matter to them.
Right,
and
right.
I think that allow us to work backwards and simplify all the other processes, remove unnecessary things. And I think that's how we, you know, as a team ended up creating that unique experience that, you know, position Frank as the market leader.
Just terrific. Are there very strategic shifts that this book talks about that's going to help companies and people in it transform the way they look at their business and then, you know, customize it for the people that they serve?
So in this book, I suggest 5 shifts.
Mm-hmm.
And when companies try to introduce a new change.
Yeah.
I believe that there's no one, you know, one method that can fit all companies because every company possesses own challenges and, you know, have unique context. So the way I suggest would be maybe there are 5 principles that resonate better with some companies.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for a lot of companies, maybe the, you know, one of the first principles in the book resonate with them, you know, really seeing customer as a source of inspiration and seeing empathy, you know, being able to connect with customers as a strategic asset.
Yes.
You know, typically a lot of companies run a lot of surveys, rely on data analytics, which is very important part of understanding customers. But I think what we can really, you know, change is really having that direct interaction with customers, spending some time meeting with them, going where they are, observing them, talking to them, has actually very powerful effect. Because when we are able to empathize, we get to see problems differently. In other words, the ability to identify innovation opportunities increases massively. So, like this small change in research practice
mm-hmm.
can really help companies to identify innovation opportunities better. You know, how can we simplify? What has to be simplified? Really by putting ourselves in the shoes of customers.
Yeah, you got to know your audience and you got to use empathy to, I suppose, understand what it is they want, what they're going through, if you're going to make choices easier for them. So, there are a couple of strategic shifts you've gone through. Are there any more you can share with us?
Yeah, and then the second one, I call it Dance with Complexity. It's really about the way we work among project teams and the internal and external stakeholders. Again, when it comes to imposing a change, we tend to go by a process approach. Oh, let's adopt design thinking. Let's adopt agile. But actually, change only happens when people change. So really paying attention to how people work and really helping people navigate through complexity. So my favorite method will be visualizing rather mm-hmm. than talking about it, prototyping it to think rather than, you know, thinking in abstract terms. So like implementing those different way of working can really help the team to, you know, work towards, you know, simplicity. The third principle I suggest is focus. It's really about finding the North Star when things are changing so fast and we have less resources to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Shifting really from doing more things to less but better things. And the finding that focus what really matters for the customers and the business.
Yep. I mean, we all think of Amazon and their one-click cart, right? Yeah. Wasn't that just genius? Cutting down the number of steps it took to check out. So, yeah, I totally get that. Please go ahead.
And then the last two principles, the one is called speak human, which is many people's favorite principle.
Get rid of the jargon. Yep.
Exactly, because we all have that experience, don't we, right? Like confused with the document, legal, you know, technical jargons and all. But, you know, what is really interesting about Speak Human is that it's actually quite easy to implement. Especially, you know, in the digital age, words are the interface. You know, in the past, it used to be buttons, icon, how, you know, website, you know, what kind of color and buttons it has. But these days, because of the AI and voice-based interfaces, the way we write, the choice of words matters so much. So words have become the new interface. So just by simply humanizing that, using easy everyday term, wearing the human tone, we can improve customer experience so significantly. So this is one of the, you know, favorite principles that a lot of people talk about. Of course, the final one, creating lovable experiences, is really about encouraging companies to go beyond just offering a product, viable product, but really embracing all senses. You know, I think because of the popularity of design thinking, the craft side of design has lost its importance these days. But the, you know, the senses, colors, and the beauty, aesthetics, these are very important part of the human experience, regardless of what kind of business lines we are in. So I wanted to really heighten that sensitivity of, you know, what makes a human experience great by bringing back the importance of the craft side of design.
That is beautiful and not often talked about, actually, incorporating all the senses, because that's what makes us human. People have a very linear, text-based approach to things sometimes and forget all the other aspects that make us human beings. So that's great. And this, I love the fact that this book is a clarion call for simplicity. Jing Kang, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed having a conversation with you.
Likewise, Jing Kang Mola is the author of The Simplicity Playbook for Innovators, what we're reading today, and it's on our bookshelves right here in Singapore, ready for you to pick up.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.